Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef. Starting at just $1.99. Get a grilled dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price and participation vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
Attention all stations. Attention all stations. Action message to follow. Action message is, Contra Radio is now broadcasting.
And good evening. This is Contra Radio Network. I'm your host, John Jeffers. I'm the founder, the host, and executive producer here at Contra Radio Network. Tonight I've got a special guest. His name is Randy Cooley. You've heard his commercials here on Contra Radio Network. I actually got the man himself on the line tonight. If you want to call in, you can. We have two phone numbers. Area code 516-453-9389 or 855-355-8458. If you have questions, you can call in and you can talk with Randy, or you can tell us that we both suck. We don't care because we're having a good time. With that said, Randy, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, sir. How are you?
Good, my friend. I've been running your commercials for a while here, and in fact, we're going to run it again tonight. Now, with your, you make leather holsters, correct?
That is correct.
Do you make any other leather products besides the holsters?
Well, not at this time. When I was more of a leather hobbyist, I did, you know, cell phone cases and wallets and purses and all that. I've even made Western boots. But now it's strictly concealed carry, gun leather, and magazine pouches.
That's what my next question was going to be. Can you make the magazine pouches for them? Very good.
Yes, I can, as long as I have a magazine to fit.
Well, there you have it, folks. Now, Randy is also an avid ham radio operator. So if you have questions about ham radio operation, Randy's the guy to ask. Now, you have a general license?
Yeah, that's correct. And I'm currently studying for my amateur extra license, which is it's the top license you can get in amateur radio.
All right. Now, a lot of times, I know for myself, when it comes to my prepper group, it's not so much that, you know, with the getting the license for the ham radio. What I've been having problems with is trying to figure out authentication codes for the prepper group when we are using the ham radio or any other radio. Have you heard of any solution to that, perhaps in your circles that you've been running around in?
Well, you know, I would really suggest that your prepper group operates on Simplex, and I'd be happy to explain that to you, John, if you don't fully understand that. In other words, it would be radio to radio, antenna to antenna, not going through a repeater system. And then, you know, you would typically want to continue to use your call sign that are issued.
Okay. Now, when you're talking about, for example, if I want to make sure I'm talking to you and no one else, and how I was thinking of maybe some kind of you were in the military like I was, and I don't know if Todd Guybord is going to be calling in, but I believe he was in the military too. We always had those CEOIs you had with it, and that would guarantee that who we're talking to is really who we're talking to. It's not somebody that's interfering or can jump in. Have you heard of anything out there like a CEOI that could be used for the prepper groups for secure radio communications?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't, and that's something that, you know, you may be crossing the line with the Federal Communications Regulation, the FCC, because I do believe that everything, you know, needs to be out there.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But I'm talking, if we're in a grid-down situation, I don't think the FCC is going to be giving two craps about anything if they're still functioning. But I agree with you 100%. As long as the grid is up, it has to be out in the open. I agree with that. But I was thinking more along the lines of a grid-down situation or when the shit hits the fan. That's what I was talking about.
All right. Now, yeah, I understand where you're going with that. And, you know, if the inevitable happens, the worst-case scenario, you know, that's when the rule book goes out the window, you might say. I would think Motorola has a system called the Motor Turbo System. And I actually have that system at work. It's a UHF system. Mm-hmm. And it scrambles signals. I mean, you can't I don't know if you really can't, or it'd be very difficult to eavesdrop on a conversation that runs
okay.
through that system, digital system.
Hold on. Hold on, buddy. I think we got a call coming in. Let's see who we have here.
Okay.
Hello. This is John at Contrary Network. Who do I got here?
Hey, John. It's Todd.
Todd, how are you? I got Randy on here. How you doing?
Good. I don't want to steal Randy's thunder, man. It's his night, so.
It is his night, but he is who he is. Randy, can you still hear us?
Oh, yeah. And, hey, good evening, Todd. What's happening, buddy? Yeah, maybe John can repeat that question if you haven't heard it about, oh, being able to, you know, decode your ham signals in a worst-case scenario so that it would not be open to eavesdroppers.
Kind of like an authentication code, Todd. Like we had in the military, the CEOI booklets they'd hand out. Just that way, if I want to talk to Todd and I send out an authentication code and I can get a response back, I know I'm talking to Todd or I'm talking to Randy. No, the conversation can't be hijacked by someone else.
Well, I imagine Randy answered the exact same way I'm going to answer. According to the regulations, we're not allowed to use codes.
Correct.
However, that being said, when my kids were still in elementary school, I gave them a code.
Right.
Okay. If somebody came to the school and said, hey, your mom and dad sent me to get you, my kids knew it wasn't true. So exchange a code between friends, just, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Well,
whatever. There's anything wrong with the I'm sorry.
No. Well, I was telling Randy is that I agree, while the grid is up, absolutely no codes. However, when if the grid goes down, I don't think the FCC is going to be given two shits one way or the other, if they're even up and operating or they're even still in existence at the time.
Right. But
being what it is.
Being what it is if you and your fellow preppers and your team, that's the word I was looking for, if your team put together certain codes that
mm-hmm.
you could use, sure, why not? But, and Randy can jump in here as well, you can spend a lot of time working on encryption within radio systems.
Okay.
And it becomes a full-time job just playing with that. However, there are encryption devices that are out there.
Yeah.
That for a considerable amount of investment, you can pick them up, program them, and use them. And most of the radios that I'm speaking of don't care whether they're on the ham band or commercial bands.
All right. Randy, question for you.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about those handheld Balfen radios that you see for $35 on eBay?
Well, I actually have a couple of those. I mean, they work, and they work well. I don't know if I would compare them with some of the better, you know, the Asus or the Kenwoods or the Icoms, as far as having a tight front end on them, but they do work, they're cheap, and they allow people to get into ham radio very, very inexpensively. So
okay.
I'd say go for it.
All right, very good. All right, all right. Todd, you have any thoughts?
Absolutely, I concur 100%. I own a couple myself. Programming, they tend to be difficult. That's the worst thing I can say about them.
All right, all right.
Yeah. Yep.
What? Now, getting back to Randy. Now, Randy has offered to give a 10% discount. Listen up, listeners, because you are the best audience in podcast land on internet radio. You're the most informed audience. And I want you to know right now, none of us are experts here. We have some good guys here, but nobody's an expert when it comes to prepping because no one's ever gone through it yet. Guys have been in third world countries, which simulate it, but if you have any questions, feel free to call in. Randy's going to give a 10% discount if you mention you're a listener to Contra Radio when you order a holster from him. Now, you can get a hold of Randy at bulldogleather.com, or you can email him at randy@bulldogleather.com. Am I right, Randy? Is that good? Is that good information?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is by email. If you forget, it's a long website address, bulldogleathercompany.com, all spelled out. But you could put in there Bulldog Custom Gun Leather. You could put Cooley Holsters, and that's going to pop you up on Google right to the top of the list.
Oh, very good. Now, Todd, I understand that you're talking about putting together an active shooter seminar. Is that correct?
Yes. Active shooter will be one of the things that we cover in it. We figure we'll go into some advanced topics on concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of looking to do it an evening, a couple hours. It's not going to be an in-depth course. The drawback is we're not going to do any draw from the holster. We're not going to do any actual practicing. We're going to get a dialogue going between people that have seen it, people that have done it through occupational means.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
once
talking
you start
about
carrying
doing,
on a regular basis. I'm sorry?
So you're talking about doing a theory discussion. Theories that work, a lot of basically it's like a two-hour classroom where we'll be diagramming some things to show that kind of thing. Is that what you're kind of going for?
Absolutely. The thought process that once you start carrying on a regular basis, you tend to go through anyway.
Okay. Now, Randy, you did time at various police departments in the county, correct?
That is correct.
And you did time in the Marine Corps?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Very well. And Todd, Randy and I did not remember. Did you serve in the Navy?
I did not serve at all.
Why not? You disappoint me, sir. I'm greatly disappointed. It's all right. We'll let you keep on here. We'll let you stay here on Contra Radio. Now, Randy and Todd, either one of you guys can jump in on this one.
Sure.
Grid down situation, and for whatever reason, the grid's gone down, and there's chaos. It's always been my theory with my prepper group, the 11th APG, is that communication is of utmost importance, and I like the idea of the ham radio, just because in the past there's been history that shows that when the media can't get into there or there's a lack of communication, it seems that there's a ham radio somewhere in the world broadcasting what's happening. And an example would be the Grenada invasion, where the press was excluded. All that was getting out was that military forces had entered Grenada, but yet there were still ham radio operators calling out what was going on the island. And I was thinking, if it's a grid-down situation, you're going to need communication anyways, because you have to know what's going on, what's happening, where, and whatnot. Would you agree? Would you disagree? And if so, why or why not?
Well, I'll jump on that one. Very, very important. Of course, I'm a cheerleader for ham radio because that is, that's a major hobby for me.
Right.
However, it has proven itself in time immemorial that when everything goes to hell, ham radio's still there.
Right.
Katrina, 911, the tsunamis over in Japan. I mean, the only thing in and out of there communication-wise was radio.
Very good. Very good. Now, here's a question for you. Because I went looking and I couldn't find one. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I was looking for a handheld ham radio that could be charged other than plugging it into the wall, whether it's a solar charger or something. Because I'm thinking down the line, electric grid goes down, need to make communication somehow, somewhere with someone. And if I use up that battery in there, I got to have a way to recharge it. Any ideas?
Well, you hit the nail on the head when you said solar charger. I don't know if there's anything else out there I can't think of. Maybe, you know, Todd's been an amateur radio ham radio longer than I have, so maybe he could, you know, steer you in a different direction.
Mr. Todd?
Well, the big thing to remember about, I'm trying to think here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say all radio equipment is its DC, most of which being 12-volt DC. So you're working with a common automotive knowledge base that you're working on.
Okay.
Everything is going to be converted from AC into 12-volt DC.
All right.
So if you've got a solar charging system to charge a deep cell or an automotive battery, you can very easily pull a handheld cigarette lighter adapter. They sell them readily to charge your handhelds.
Oh, there you go.
That being said, all of your base station radios are also 12-volt DC. So one of the things that ham radio is known for, and Randy said it already, is when everything else fails, amateur radio is there. So
it's
it's always there. So it's part of our hobby to come up with alternatives for running our station. Quick example, other than solar, I actually found a place online, and it was backed up in one of the emergency power books that the Amateur Radio Relay League publishes. I took a 3.5 horsepower gasoline engine and attached it to an old GM alternator with a belt.
Okay.
It runs for 45 minutes on a tank of gas, and it'll charge any battery. It's also an old drag racer's trick.
Really? Well,
I built a small battery charger that runs on just about anything.
All right. One thing, remember, guys, I'm with Contra Radio. We have new preppers, we have old preppers, and we have patriots listening. So for myself and for others, and talk to us like we're complete idiots and we don't know what we're doing, so everybody understands. And so far you've both been doing a great job on that, and I just want to remind you, not everybody knows what they're talking about. You know, when they're listening to about ham radio, they're not sure what they're hearing. So just remember, keep it at a very basic level so people like myself and others can figure it out and will know what you're talking about. And you're right. And think about using the car battery, and there's all kinds of adapters for that. That is a very good point. Well, Randy, how long have you been in the leather making hobby?
Oh, off and on since I was a Boy Scout.
Really?
I started getting back into it probably about 12 years ago.
1870 or? This
is a hobby, and then I went pro. In other words, I went exclusively holsters and, you know, got myself up to a master level, you know, within the last 8 years.
I have seen your work. I've seen your workshop, sir. And I've seen your fingertips, too. So I know. Now, you said that if you don't have the model for the weapon, what Randy needs, then he'll need your weapon if he doesn't have the cast or the model for it, so he can make the leather. And, of course, you'll get your weapon back in good shape. I can promise you that. With that said, Randy, how much do your what's the price between your holsters from low to high?
Well, low would be a pocket holster, say around $50. You know, I don't have my price sheet in front of me, and you can go on up to outside the waistband, you know, pancake holster or inside the waistband holster, you can get up there, you know, $100, $110.
Okay. All right. Very good. I understand you're going to start doing signature required on your deliveries now because you've had a problem down in Winnetka with the delivery there.
You know, I think I am. I mean, I might have created a company. I might have reversed the two last numbers on the address. It was a three-digit. Quit laughing at me, all right? It was after I spelled it off on eBay. Anyway, what had happened, they had a new carrier, a substitute carrier, who, of course, doesn't know the names of the neighborhood. And it ended up just a few houses away. And the people are on vacation, so there was sitting up there on Tuesday. Hey, my leather, you know, it takes a beating and it's still good leather, you know?
Yes, it does. It has to after the weather we get around here. Now, I know with the 11th APG, I know Todd has been involved with prepper groups. Randy, have you been involved with any type of prepper groups at all?
No. Only what you know, Todd has talked about, because we both do train together. You know, I'm one of Todd's associates with Top Notch Instruction.
I like Top Notch Instruction. For my listeners out there, what I need for you to understand is, and I want to be transparent, unlike the administration in Washington, I will be transparent. I had my wife back in August. I sent her through the Top Notch Instruction Illinois Concealed Carry course, and I got a chance to sit in on it, and I was never asked to leave. I was invited to ask questions. So it's a very open forum, and I am very comfortable with recommending Top Notch Instruction for all of your training needs, including all the NRA basic classes and advanced classes, as well as some of the prepping classes that they do, like wilderness, survival, wilderness, first aid, things of that nature. So if you're a prepper or a patriot, I would strongly suggest you get a hold of Todd. Todd, is there a phone number that people can call you at to book if they have questions or to book a course with you?
Give me a second to bring that up.
Todd is on his computer. Back to Randy. Randy,
let me interject something here.
Sure.
You know, I have a good selection of molds, and I'm trying to work out something as an alternative to taking a customer's weapon in, because I really don't like to do that. I will do it in some cases, and I have done it in the past, but it makes me extremely nervous. What I have done is if a customer would order two holsters from me, and if there was a mold gun available, I would use virtually all the money from the second holster, because those molds cost me about $55 apiece, and I'd go ahead and buy a mold then, which I'd have on hand, and the customer would get, you know, he'd be getting two holsters out of the deal too. So that's something I'm leaning towards.
There you go. There you have it. Todd, have you got a phone number for us?
I do. The phone number is area code 847-447-6949. Again, 847-447-6949. If you go to the website and you don't see classes scheduled, that's okay. Give me a call, send me an email through the website. We will get something scheduled. One of the things I can say about all of the instructors at Top Notch, we absolutely love what we do. We will schedule a class with one person.
If that's what it takes. I like that. All right, there you have it, listeners. You heard from the owner and founder of Top Notch Instruction himself. That's what you do. Get a hold of him. Get yourself educated. Get yourself armed. Get yourself licensed. It is important. Randy,
I'd like to put out there also that, you know, through my association with Todd, I would be very interested in helping him with active shooter. I teach that on sometimes twice a week to all all new employees that are coming to work for the corporation that I represent. And, of course, that's from a standpoint of not being armed, how you should handle it. And also, how do you handle the police response? That's a very important thing that needs to be discussed. So
it
I'd
is.
Be willing to help you out
it's critical.
That.
It is absolutely critical, Randy. You're right. When dealing with the police response and when you are exiting that building, it is critical. You're absolutely right. I had forgotten about that point.
That is Randy's section of our class. We make Randy teach that section. I love making Randy teach that section, and he rolls his eyes, and he's about to do the same thing, so picture it in your head. I get to be that guy.
Yes.
When I'm dealing with Randy, and he loves how I do it.
Yep.
See?
There you have it.
A sarcastic tone there. I drive him bananas.
You should.
We try to present real-world scenarios when we're not really dealing with those critical incidents, but we're showing how it happens and how it's done and how to engage the police. That's very important.
It is very
important. What I've never told Randy is in that situation, because of his background, I deliberately try to frustrate him. Because if the students can see the frustration on a police officer's face, I get to be that guy. I think I've come pretty close to feeling the jolt from a taser a time or two if he'd had one.
Or being pulled out of the car through the vet window.
That's good. I like that one. That's my favorite one. Now, we have a lot of we're talking about, let me ask you this. Randy, what's your favorite handgun?
My favorite handgun? I'm a Glock guy.
You are?
I've had just about everything at one time or another, but I've settled on the Glocks. I have four or five of them now.
Why?
They always go bang when you pull the trigger.
All right. Todd, same
right
question.
Right out of the box. Yes.
Todd,
the gun
question.
That goes bang when I need it to.
Yes.
Well, okay. Do you have a favorite?
Beyond that, I'm a 1911 guy, but if you put a Glock in my hand, I'm probably going to shoot it just as well as I do the 1911.
Okay, I'm different from both of you. I'm a Sig Sauer guy. All right. Just because that's what I know and that's what I trust. Next question. Randy, favorite rifle?
Yep. Favorite rifle? Well, what kind of rifle? Are we talking about a general all-purpose, sporting, semi-automatic? It would be the AR-15 and all its various derivatives.
Okay. Todd, same question.
M1 Garand.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I just wanted to see if you would do it. I knew it. When you brought it out to show it off, I thought, that's his baby. That's the one he loves.
Yes, it
all
is.
Right.
And I could have guessed that's what he picked, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it. I've seen the Grand.
He likes to bring it out. He likes to show it off. That's fine. I just wanted to hear it out of his own mouth this time. That's all. Todd, you sent me an email not too long ago. We were talking about the different MREs, and you sent me an email saying you had additional information. What was it?
Well, I had misspoke. I had said something when we were talking about MREs about there being a tan bag for the humanitarian MREs, and they're actually multicolored. They can come in various colors.
Oh, really?
So, but there is, I believe the website I sent you was MREinfo.com. Has a wealth of information about how to look and see what's out there in the world of MREs. There is so much information out there, you just can't retain it all.
I hear that. Now, Randy.
Yes, sir.
I believe Sammy Isbaton is listening. Because he did a Facebook message to me. I don't know if it's going to have you on tonight, and he said he's going to be listening. Sammy's going to be going to Flea Tech down in Glencoe, down there at Club Fed.
Yep.
That's good. I like Sammy. But he's just wanted to do a shout-out to Sammy Isbaton. Sammy, hope you're listening. Hope you're doing well. Don't forget my jacket. Thank you.
Yeah, and young brother, do well down there. Make us proud of you down in Glencoe, Georgia. I know you do a great job, and you're going to be a great copper.
He's very conscientious of his job. I know that. Just for that one day I spent with him. Now, Todd, you say you've got. We have to do something about your website. There's no phone number to get a hold of you on. At least not the last time I checked. And we have to do something. I'd like to get together with your prepper group. When will you guys be training again?
I don't know. Probably not until spring.
I don't know. That sounds like Spicoli talking to Mr. Hand. I don't know. Now, Randy, how much money do you usually spend a year on your ham radio equipment?
Well, back when I had a better job, I was wealthy. I kind of bought everything at once, and then I try to sell things before I buy other things. Actually,
right.
I sent Todd an innocent message today that he hasn't responded to yet.
With
I wanted to maybe buy something if it was for sale, but we'll see.
Mike, that was you. Okay.
Well, let me ask you this: when it comes to your purchasing, where do you purchase your equipment? Do you have a specific store you go to, or are you one of those guys that just goes to whoever has the best sale going?
I kind of shop around, but I like AES. That's Amateur Electronic Supply up in Milwaukee. I can go
right
up there and actually see what I'm buying and spin the dials. But I've also ordered Ham Radio Outlet and Gigaparts and DX Engineering. Pretty much who has the best price.
Okay, well, that makes sense. For the new preppers looking to get into ham radio, can you give them a good starter radio? What features should it have, and what should it be able to do? And don't forget the antenna.
Well, everybody pretty much starts out in ham radio with an HT, a handy talkie, a walkie-talkie, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. And you can pick up those Chinese jobs for, $35, $40. That will give you the very basics where you can talk on local repeaters. If you get yourself even a mag-mount antenna for your vehicle, you can run that radio off that antenna and get yourself, better coverage, better area coverage. I recommend, if you're going to go with VHF, UHF, I recommend getting yourself a mobile radio that you could either mount in the car, or you could have a temporary mount in the car. You could also bring it into your house. And, of course, you would use your magnet mount antenna outside. And you could even use it inside if you wanted. People have stuck them on cake pans, to get a decent ground plane, which, I'm probably getting too technical right now, so I'm going to leave it at that.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Now, I have the FRS radios, I have the ham radio, and let me ask you this. People have been, there's a thing going back and forth about CB radios. It pops up every once in a while in the prepper world as we're on the, as I scan around to the different websites looking for information to present to the audience. What's your opinion on the CBs?
They can have use. I mean, you still got your truck drivers on them. I mean, some are on ham radio now too, but more so they're on the CB radio. So if you're out there, you have to travel, you got to leave the comforts of your home and hit the highway, I would see a CB radio being very valuable.
Really? Okay. Todd, opinions?
Absolutely. Radio is radio and it's communication. If you can get information in and out, the only thing, you've got to deal with the unlicensed people that are on the radio, but it is what it is. In terms of radios, Randy hit it right on, hit it right, you know, right where it is to go. It's there's so many that are out there, and in terms of where to buy from, the only thing I will say is, if you buy used, be careful who you buy from. eBay.
Why?
And Craigslist are not necessarily your friends. Okay.
What pitfalls? What pitfalls should they look for?
Ham radio operators have a long history of trading and exchanging and selling each other used gear. It's kind of something I think most of us have done.
Right.
Just because someone tells you that they're a ham and they can give you a call sign doesn't necessarily make them a ham. There are a lot of people on eBay that are picking up equipment and they're just reselling it, and they'll tell you they know what it is, but they're not. But the one thing I can tell you is, in general, the ham community is protective of itself. If you get into ham radio, find another ham. Join a club. Do something. Hey, I'm thinking about buying a radio from this guy. Oh, well, let's not. You shouldn't buy from that guy. I know this guy that got, you know, screwed by him and this and that. We're really good about being self-policing. So talk to people. Hear it on the air. Go see it if you can.
There you go. Stay away from Craigslist people, basically, as we say. And on eBay, be careful. If it says they're not going to let it, they're selling it without a warranty, or you can't return it, or all sales are final, I would stay away from it. That's my opinion. Now, Randy.
Yes.
Tell me, what did you do when you were in the military?
A lot of push-ups, brother.
Yeah, join the club. It doesn't help us.
Actually, my MOS was 03-11.
Doing what infantry?
Infantry.
Oh, bullet stopper, professional, one each. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
1 mile, one kill, you know.
Oh, very good. Well, okay, all right. Yeah, you were in the Marine Corps, correct?
That's correct.
And how long did you serve?
I served 2 years. It was a 3-year enlistment, but I did get hurt, and I went back and forth between active duty in the hospital and the orthopedic surgeon, and it was decided that it was up to me that I could leave, go home for a while, come back, and that's what I thought I was going to do, and then I ended up getting on the police department.
And which police department did you get on first?
Village of Lindenhurst.
The Village of Lindenhurst. Very good. Now, did you do time at Park City?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Actually, I worked in Park City twice.
Did you?
Yes.
All right. All right. And you did time at Round Lake Heights?
Twice. Yes.
Okay. So you are a glutton for...
Lake County Sheriff's Office? Twice.
You are a glutton for punishment, sir. That much I can tell you.
Hey, maybe they hired me back, you know?
Now, Todd, when you're out, do you usually use that range in Crystal Lake for all your practice and class needs?
Not specifically, no.
You do not? Okay. That's a nice range, by the way.
It is a gorgeous range. We have an excellent relationship with On Target.
Mm-hmm,
They offer their own training. They have asked us not to bring anyone in there to train, understandably. They offer their own classes.
Right.
However, we are allowed to use their range for NRA and Illinois qualifications.
Okay, very nice.
Usually, as soon as the weather breaks, we've got a few locations, some private property where we can do classes, and that's actually where we're looking to move more of our advanced classes. We're actually looking at branching out and doing some shooting courses where we're going to drop people into the mix. And by that I mean a lot of firearms instructors shy away from things like paintball and airsoft. But one of the popular methods of training right now in law enforcement is simunitions.
Correct.
Now, simunitions is a trademark. You have to buy all of their stuff from them, and A, it's very difficult to become a simmunitions distributor, mm-hmm. as well as it is very expensive. My understanding from the last person I talked to that was a distributor, it is more expensive per round for a simmunition than it is for an actual round of ammunition.
Really?
So I actually had some chances, and actually on our website now is a fellow instructor that's running a course, and I've done a few with airsoft, and it stings just enough to teach you, you don't want to do that again.
Right.
And it gives you the ability to go out and try it so you don't do it again.
Been there, done that.
I became a big fan. Airsoft has come so far in terms of what they can fit, the operations, the pouches, the holsters, the magazines, they all can function. It's an inexpensive way to go out and say, okay, do I really know how to do this? And we ran a trial course in the fall
mm-hmm.
with some of our former students, and I was expecting to be completely beat up by these students. We didn't like this about the course. I got the exact opposite. We want to see more of this in the course. We want to see more of that in the course. And we spent 8 hours moving through basically a shoot house that I constructed out of plastic in a matter
okay.
of an hour.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And they felt they learned a lot. So.
Very well. Very well. Randy, thoughts?
Well, I'm really enjoying this, you know, I told you 40, 45 minutes, and it's like the time is flowing, and hey, I'm ready to keep going if you guys are.
We can keep going for as long as we want. Now, the last time Todd and I did this, he was all worried because we were all over the map on our discussions, and I told him, it's okay, because it keeps the conversation flowing. We don't have to stick with one subject or any other subjects. I like to stick with I like to hit the high points, your strong points, guys, that you know about, get you comfortable with talking on the radio and discussing things. I will have you guys on again, just so you know. And we do have two or three guests in the chat room. No, I guess they're just listening. No one's posted any questions yet. And if you want to call in, our number is 516-453-9389. Or 855-355-8458. Hey, guys, let me take a break here. I got to get some commercials in, if you don't mind. And we'll be right back in a few minutes. Hold on. Here at Contra Radio, we really like Bulldog Custom Gun Leather, made in the USA by Randy Cooley, the owner and master holster maker. He has fine products that are soft and durable, just perfect for your weapon needs. If you need to get hold of Randy, call him at 847-508-6435, 847-508-6435. Or, if you want to, you go check out his website at BulldogLeatherCompany.com, BulldogLeatherCompany.com, or his email, Randy@BulldogLeather.com, Randy@BulldogLeather.com. Fine products at a fair price. You can't go wrong. Here at Contra Radio, not only do we recommend them, we actually like Randy. John Jeffers here from Contra Radio Network, speaking to you on TopNotchInstruction.com. TopNotch Instruction, located in Northern Illinois, can cover your firearm certification needs. From the Illinois Concealed Carry through the basic NRA packages, including Range Safety Officer and the basic rifle. CMP Rifle Marksmanship, Defensive Pistol, and Urban Rifle. Now, hey, listen up. If you do like first aid, and first aid's your thing, and you need a medic or you're a prepper group, you can send them there for the American Red Cross First Aid, AED and CPR certification, and Wilderness First Aid, which, by the way, if you're a prepper and a patriot, I suggest you take that class. However, outdoors. Hey, you like outdoors? How about outdoor survival, orienteering, backpacking, and the Illinois Hunter Safety Course? All these are available for a very reasonable price at TopNotchInstruction.com. Give Todd a call, or better yet, go to his website, TopNotchInstruction.com, TopNotchInstruction.com. And do I trust him? Yes, I do. I even had my wife go through the Illinois Concealed Carry course there at Top Notch Instruction. I was even invited to stay and ask questions. So I do trust them, and you should trust them too. So see you there at Top Notch Instruction. Okay, we're back. How are we doing, guys? Still with me?
Oh, we're here. We're here.
All right. Now, you guys can make your own commercials and just email them to me, and I'll put them on there for you. Just record them on your computer in MP3 format, send them over to me, and I'll put them on there for you. If you guys want to do it that way or however you want to do it, let me know. If you want to keep the ones I made for you, that's fine too. Just let me know if you guys want to, you know, it's up to you. Now, getting back to it, Randy, what kind of subjects do you want to talk about now?
Well, that's deep because I could, Todd knows, I can pontificate about anything. But
well, sir, the airwaves are yours. Have at it.
Well, I guess, you know, since we're going to, you know, we're talking about my company here and talking about holsters, important thing that people do not take into consideration is the importance of a proper gun belt. I don't mean something that looks nice from Walmart. I'm talking about a good quality belt. And I don't make those, all right? I absolutely do not make those myself, but I do use another guy down in Georgia, and I carry my guns on his belts.
Who is the guy down in Georgia?
His name is Al. It's A&G, Custom Gun Leather. It's probably A&GGunLeather.com. I can't pull up his my internet's not working right now. I can't pull up his website, but he's just excellent gun leather.
Oh, very
good
then.
If you buy a holster, or even if you buy a crappy holster, you're still going to need a good, sturdy gun belt. It makes all the difference in the world.
That's true. Have you been following, have either one of you been following the fact that the Democrats have introduced legislation to ban body armor? The sale thereof.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I haven't looked at it in depth, but I've seen the various postings on it.
Right, so have I. Todd, you seen that?
I've seen the postings. I've read some of it. I think that has as much chance of passing as the ability for us to get silencers here in Illinois. Neither one of those are going to pass.
Well, there you go.
I agree with that. I agree. With the liberal left, you know, here I go off on one of my rants.
Look, go ahead,
you know,
sir.
If it's not one thing, it's another with them. And, you know, I think if a law-abiding citizen wants to have, you know, a ballistic vest, that's okay. I really don't see a problem with that.
Neither do I. I think when we realize that Illinois is a tyranny state, well, it's not as bad as Washington, D.C. I understand those clowns have only issued eight concealed carry licenses since the federal court told them they have to start issuing those licenses, the concealed carry licenses. And I guess they're going to be sued again, because they're screwing around again. So, I just, and I agree with you, both of you, in the fact that if it's not one thing, it's another. It never, I guess I don't understand this. We've had, I think, Todd, you posted something on Facebook last week that the one-year anniversary of the concealed carry law has gone through. The crime rate has dropped, yet no one's talking about it. Thoughts?
Still waiting on that wild, wild west scenario to happen.
You
my.
Too?
Oh, my. I want blood flowing in the streets, all right? But
that's not one. Well, I believe they said... Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've been able to do, and I'm not very proud of how I was able to do it, is I've actually had some interactions with law enforcement, and some of the things I talk about in court, in the class... And if you handle it right, when you're carrying, if you handle it right, it very quickly changes the dynamic of the interaction, and what you'd expect doesn't happen.
For example, be more specific.
Okay, I'm going to pick on the law, the agency that pulled me over. I was pulled over in the village of Prairie Grove.
Okay.
And did exactly the opposite of what the law tells us to do. Illinois is not an informed state. We do not have to inform the officer that we are a concealed carry licensee. However, that is not what we teach at Top Notch. Because if you're going to carry in another state may be a notification state.
Okay.
And the first thing the dispatcher is going to tell the officer on the radio is that you are a concealed carry licensee. If you did not inform them, you are working from the hole that you've started to dig yourself into and trying to dig yourself out of it. I informed the officer that I was a concealed carry holder. That night I didn't happen to be armed, but I informed him I had the license. When he came back to the car, we had a five-minute conversation. It turns out that the sheriff's department, who does the dispatching for Prairie Grove, had actually already started sending a second unit. Don't blame them. They don't want to be outgunned.
Right. That's protocol.
He stopped that. He stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't need it. I'm okay.
There you go.
He said I could have been carrying a bazooka on me and he would have been comfortable because I informed and I instructed him. Informed him that I was there. And I did instruct him as well. He had a question. He didn't know and hadn't been instructed as to if a FOID is expired and the concealed carry license is not, are you allowed to carry?
I would say the answer is no. Mm-hmm.
The answer is no, absolutely not. If your FOID expires, your Illinois concealed carry goes into a pending status.
Oh, okay.
And by pending, I mean temporarily revoked.
Until you get back, till you get your FOID going.
Correct.
I don't know.
Once
are there any other states in the country that require a FOID card?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't believe so.
I think Illinois is the only one.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's the correct answer.
Okay. Randy, what are your thoughts?
Engaging a police officer, I agree with Todd.
So do I.
What a lot of people don't understand, and maybe even some of your listeners don't understand, policemen are not against the Second Amendment. The majority of us believe that citizens have a right to not just protect themselves from the tyranny of government, but from the thugs on the street.
I would say that's absolutely correct. Absolutely,
yep.
I would. If you disagree, call us and tell us why you disagree. 516-453-9389, 855-355-8458, or go in the chat room and you could type out your question and we'll get it out there for you. Okay. I've decided that I just don't have the time or the patience to deal with liberals or progressives or whatever the hell they're calling themselves this week. I just don't have the time to deal with them anymore. I don't suffer them any longer. I either block them or won't even talk to them. I just don't have the patience for them anymore. I can't deal with them anymore. I can't stand them. I don't know if I'm getting old if I'm getting crotchy in my old age or I just have had it with their foolishness. Randy, you're about my age. What do you think?
I agree 100% to you. I used to, just on my personal Facebook page, I used to do a lot more politicizing on there. And I don't necessarily, every once in a while I will now, but it's like if you can't figure out on your own that we are really screwed in this country, there's nothing more that I can say. I mean, if you can't open your eyes, you've drank way too much Kool-Aid, all right? Way too much of the liberal left Kool-Aid. you know, that's going to be on you. You know, I'll take care of myself. I'll take care of my family. I'll take care of my friends. If you're not with us, well, you're on your own.
Right. You're on your own, and you can go rely on the government for whatever they will give you and make you a slave to them. I won't do it anymore. Todd, how about you? What say you?
I'm going to be the voice of reason here.
Don't be. Be the unreasonable voice.
We're beating up on the liberal left, and frankly,
but
they deserve
it's
beating.
Easy. I agree. I agree. It's easy to beat up on them. I agree. I get it. But
okay.
Why not?
But the Republican, and I'm using air quotes here, the Republican right is no better. We seem to be coming very, very close to becoming the nanny state, where personal responsibility has no bearing anywhere. We want a law to fix everything. We want the government to provide everything. What happened to personal responsibility? I used to post a lot about I miss the gentleman farmer. And I caught a lot of static because people said, well, the industrial age came. And farming went by the wayside. Okay, but you missed my point. Our Congress critters were never meant to hold a full-time job in Washington.
That is true.
It was meant to be, they go, they vote. The power was meant to be held in the states, and there's people that are going to jump on the soapbox and remind me about the Articles of Confederation. Yes, it was a 13-year experiment that didn't work.
Correct.
So we came up with the Constitution. They were very afraid at the Second Continental Congress about putting so much power in the federal government. It's one of the reasons why, in order to get it ratified, they needed the Bill of Rights. And the most important right there isn't the first.
It is not.
It was the 10th.
The 9th and 10th Amendments, I agree.
Those powers not explicitly granted to the federal government were retained by the people. They meant the state. Where we can vote with our feet.
Well, that's true. I also think that, you know, and what you're saying is correct, and I think they've all forgotten that it was the states that created the federal government, not the other way around.
And somebody, one of my historian buddies, we were talking about various areas in history, and they said that they saw the beginning to the end when we started referring to our great experiment as the United States rather than these United States.
Ooh, they would think about that. How interesting.
That was
Randy?
Deep. That was really deep, Todd. I like that.
It is.
United States. You are 100% correct, sir.
I was just thinking about the same thing. I said I didn't even thought about it until you mentioned it. So, yeah. So, my patriot friends out there, know this. You are not alone. You have people and places you don't even know you've got that we do support you. We support what you're doing. Now, I want to address this to both of you. The measles outbreak. I've been watching all the lame mainstream media. And my opinion is this. The fact is they won't say it, but I am of the firm belief that the reason we're having this measles outbreak is because of all the illegals that came swarming over the border back in July and August and September. And the Border Patrol agents were coming down with these diseases, but it was suppressed. That information has been suppressed so as to, quote, unquote, make it easier to integrate these people into these criminal elements into our society and feel sorry for them. And now we're paying the price. Thoughts?
Well, I'll pop in. And I, you know, I do agree with you, but I'm also of the opinion every time we have an outbreak, it hits all the media. And I don't even listen. I don't even listen to Fox News anymore. I don't listen to none of them. I listen to local news, and I get everything else, you know, off the Internet. It seems like every time we come up with a big outbreak of something, something else is going on. Something else is going on, you know, behind the scenes.
You saying it's being used as a distraction?
yeah, I mean, we were, you know, we're all going to die from Ebola, you know. And, you know, look at other media grabbers. Look at the, the Sandy Hook incident. And, I mean, no sooner were the survivors buried, or not the survivors, but the bodies buried, if there were any, because we've never seen any yet. But, you know, right away the parents are going on the Sandy Hook world tour, you know, with the president. You know, it seems like there's an agenda behind everything.
Todd?
Which one of the current administration, either teachers or individuals, that said, never let a good crisis
go to waste? That was Rahm Emanuel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think the city of Chicago is talking about how bad they've done with the snow removal from our recent snow. What's really going on?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think they did a bad job at all. You mean you've got so many people, so many trucks, and so much time. I thought they cleared it out. And besides, listen, you clowns, you live in northern Illinois. Our weather sucks every winter. It happens every year. Why are you surprised? I don't get it.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, and that was something, I think it was the storm of 79, and
right.
That was under Mayor Blandick's regime.
Well,
yeah,
he
lost his seat because of that, you know?
Yes, he did. Well, it was Jane Byrne that unseated him using that very same argument.
Right.
No, I don't think
Randy?
He did a bad job.
I'm sorry. Randy, John, we're going to pull this thing full circle.
Go ahead.
Why is everybody freaked out about the amount of snow, and why do they not think about the fact they live in northern Illinois and our weather sucks? Because they don't have a plan. They don't know what they're going to do when 20 inches of snow falls. I wouldn't say no one has a plan. I bet you had a plan. I know I had a plan.
And I think part of it is we've become the nanny state that we fear.
Right.
You know, everything has to be taken care of for us. We've lost the resilience and the drive forward, let's get it done mentality that our parents had. My parents were, from the world, the world's greatest generation, and they certainly were.
I think you hit it right on the head there, Todd, because I talked about this, I think, two episodes ago when I did a quick story about how when New York knew they were going to get hit with that big blizzard and all the hubbub, they all went crazy. They all went to the grocery stores. Most of the shelves were picked clean. People are waiting in line around the block just to get into the grocery store to find out the route, because grocery stores only carry about a 3-day supply if they've got that room to put it in, and people are just losing their minds because they don't prep. They don't think about the ramifications of what if something bad happens. Do I have a plan? And you're right. There's only 3 million preppers in the United States, roughly. And I guarantee you, they don't even think twice about it. And Randy's right. Oh, if I get stuck in my house, the police will come. The fire department will come. If I need food, they'll send out the National Guard with their MREs and bring it right to my door. What the hell's wrong with Americans? This is not who we are. This is not our national identity.
Randy mentioned the greatest generation ever.
Yep.
And when we think about, in my case, what my grandparents did,
mm-hmm.
And how, I mean, the videos I grew up on of kids pulling their red wagon down the street piled
mm-hmm.
high with scrap metal and pots and pans that people decided they could live without
mm-hmm.
to defeat, our enemies. Could we do it again?
No.
I mean, there's...
No, we cannot. No. This generation cannot equal that, because that requires self-sacrifice, and we live in a narcissistic society where they think that the real news of the day is what's going on in Hollywood. That's what they think. No, they don't have the wherewithal or this intestinal fortitude to take on the hard work to do what has to be done. So no, we could not do it today. And they want a quick fix to every war. Oh, guess what? Bush 2. After 9/11, I remember to this day, I was sitting over at Baja Benny's or Costello's bar at the time, listening to him speak right after 9/11, and he said, the war against terrorism will go on for years. It still is. And yet, we all, you know, people are off to the mall, doing their own duty, and meanwhile, our military is at war, but not the American people. Sometimes, and this is going to be controversial, I know you two are probably going to hang up the phone when I say it, is this. I think what needs to happen to shake America out of its complacency and this unfulfilled reality that some of them live in is that we need a good, devastating terror attack on the United States soil to refocus and get everybody's attention once and for all. There. I said it. It's out there.
You're talking about September 12th.
Yeah, right after then, yes.
Right. We all remember where we were on 9/11.
That was in bed.
Probably the exact spot where we were standing.
I was in bed. I had the day off. I was sleeping.
But I bet you
know, when I went on that, it's kind of ironic that I had worked a midnight shift. That's when I was with Park City, went home, went to bed. And my mom, God rest her soul, was still alive then. And she called me up on the phone. She says, quick, turn on the TV. I have a TV in my bedroom. And she says, a plane just crashed into a World Trade Center. Well, as we're watching this together, I've still got the telephone in my hand. The second plane hit. And she said, oh, my God, they're trying to kill us. And that was, you know, those chilling words.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget those words. And I'll never forget 9/11. And, you know, that brought did bring our country together for a short period of time, but now we're just all doing our own thing again. So, you know, I hate to see any kind of a major terrorist attack. I don't like to see my countrymen get hurt, but
I agree.
What's it going to take?
Well, here, I want to put this out here for you guys. I just found this last night. The FBI Director James Comey has dropped a bombshell statement, and according to the director, he says ISIS is now secretly and quietly organizing in 49 of the 50 states. Alaska is the only state where ISIS is not known to be organizing. There you go. That was taken from libertynews.com. So for you, my patriot friends out there, get ready, because you're not crazy. 49 of 50 states.
And your radical Muslims, you know, your terrorists, mm-hmm. they are very, very, very patient people. They have been at war against Christianity forever.
And according to the video, Comey discusses the new tactics used by ISIS in America, tactics that simply cannot be tracked or traced in any meaningful manner. It's coming, folks, and they've already said it. You know, my friends Randy and Todd, they've said it outright. We are going to attack the United States, and they don't mean an embassy or an interest around the world. They're talking here on U.S. soil. And you're right, they're patient. They do their test runs. They know what works. I'm surprised we haven't been hit already, but they're coming. They are coming.
The thing to remember is we have been hit.
We have. And it's not called workplace violence.
I wouldn't lump workplace violence into that. You know, the post office used to be a very stressful place to work. Anyway, all pun aside, the FBI posts every couple of months about how many terrorist threats they've foiled. Okay, now
have you got the latest numbers?
Are they embellished? No, I have not. Are they embellished? Are they increased? Yeah, probably a little. But if it's one a year, there are attempts. You know,
I agree.
The underwear bomb, the shoe bomb, you said it yourself. They're running their trials.
They are.
We're as a nation, we're standing strong, and we can, rather than continuing to stand as strong as we are, I believe we should go back to September 12th.
We should.
I love the September 12th organization and Oath Keepers and all of these organizations that are talking about keep us strong. Everything that's been going on in the news, and I am probably more on the left here than either you or Randy, what we've forgotten is illegal means criminal, period.
Correct.
I'm not going to go into what it means and what areas of it is. If you want to take somebody and pull them out of a certain status, you must decriminalize what they're doing. So you either wipe the slate clean and you give them amnesty, or you give people a path to go. Now, there's a little bit of a soapbox for that one. But we need to strengthen each other. We are a nation of immigrants, of people that came together and formed this union, because the great experiment that's been going on since 1789 continues to go on. And if we don't remain result to it, it will fail.
I think there are people in government, in academia, who would like nothing better than to see it fail. Case
You're
in point,
absolutely correct.
Case in point, my daughter is history teacher. First thing she talks about is her son's. This is a history class, college history course here at CLC. States talking about her grandson being going through the transgender protocols or whatever. What the hell does that got to do with American history? She goes on to say that there's no such thing as American exceptionalism, and if that's the case, then why are people trying to sneak into our country? Anyways. She actually made the class assignment 2 weeks ago. They had to go see the movie Selma. And I said, but that's already been proven that that's historically incorrect. And her teachers said, no. This story is absolutely factual, historically accurate. And then she added, and that American sniper is a load of shit. That's a direct quote. And I said, oh, my. So I'm absolutely convinced that there are people in government and academia who would like nothing better than to see our republic fail.
And you are absolutely correct. And this is something, I mean, we're seeing more of it now because the left is making a greater, faster stronghold. But they took baby steps for a long time. It started in the late 50s on the college campuses, you know, back in the, what you would call the old beatnik days.
Right.
UC Berkeley, UW Madison, Cornell University out of New York. It started there. And these were bastions of liberalism. And that's, you know, when you're I call it streetwalkers, but your Saul Alinsky's.
Yes.
You know, and their studies came to be accepted. That was accepted as mainstream at the college campuses.
And you know, Randy, I fault the conservative movement for not fighting for academia. They gave up that fight and said, fine, you can have it. And now we got indoctrination. We get to pay for liberal progressive indoctrination for our children. And it's like, that's something we can never, ever take back, I don't think. Not without a fight. And it would be a very long and drawn-out fight on the campuses. I mean, it's starting. There is some pushback now, but not what it needs to be. Not with, like, for example, the University of Illinois hiring known supporters of Hamas as instructors. Really? Are known felons, such as the Ayers. Not that Bill Ayer teaches anymore, but being hired at the University of Chicago. Really? He's a professor of what? What has he done with his life?
Well, his wife, Bernadette Dorn,
yep.
He certainly still teaches at Northwestern.
And you know what she's saying. You know what she's saying. And yet,
absolutely.
And how much? I don't know what the tuition is per year at Northwestern, but I'd sure be want some of my money back. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Todd, you've been quiet.
What?
Don't get out of the fetal position.
One of the proudest days of my life.
Todd?
One of the proudest days of my life. My son comes home from a college class, and he says, "You won't believe the crap that they're trying to teach us."
Hey, Todd, you raised him well.
I looked at him, I picked up a cardboard box and said, "Well, this isn't it, but it's symbolic." And I handed it to him. He goes, "What is this?" I said, "My soapbox. You've earned it, my son. My job here is done."
Very good. Very good.
Outstanding, yes.
All right, gentlemen, I think it's getting near the end of our time. I want to thank you both for taking the time to come on my tiny little internet radio show. I do appreciate it. I'll give you guys last words. Randy, go.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk about my company and talk about also what Top Notch Instruction does, Todd's company, and we work together on that endeavor. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope to come back again. And all I can say to the listeners, keep the faith, brothers. It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. And you're welcome here anytime. Something comes up or you're bored one night, you know how to get a hold of me. I'll set it up. We'll be on within an hour. Todd, last thoughts for the evening.
Well, to repeat what Randy said, I want to thank you for the opportunity to get out here and talk about this. And the only thing I'll point out is if you agree with things we've said, it's great. If you disagree with things we've said, that's even better.
Yep.
That's what we were founded on. We don't have all the answers, and I can tell you right now, I got quiet at certain points. We don't all agree 100% to what each other's saying, but it's a meaningful dialogue that can continue, and we can find the common ground. And for those of you that believe it can't happen here, I challenge you. Take a trip to Europe and stand before those monuments erected in those camps.
Absolutely.
Can't.
You know
we
what?
Are,
Todd, you gave me
animals.
You gave me a great idea for my next show. Let's talk about the FEMA camps. I think that'd be a fun topic and informative. So I'll tell you what, you two. Let's take a week or so, look into it. I'll get you back on here. Let's discuss it. What do you say?
Hey, I'm up for it.
Good.
And Todd, you cannot go into the fetal position because I know you were for a minute because you got too quiet. You stopped doing that. Gentlemen, I want to say thank you. Go ahead.
I just say another idea for you. Let's
sure,
talk
go.
About everyday carry.
Everyday carry.
Everyday carry.
Okay. Everyday carry.
Mean?
What does it mean? What's involved? Sounds good. We can do that.
Good quality gun leather and a gun belt.
Absolutely.
I can
this
find
the kind of
custom gun leather.
You can. You can. At a fair and reasonable price for a good product. Handmade, I might add. Gentlemen, this is why I like having you guys on. We have a chance to discuss. The people get a chance to call in. Some have listened in on the chat room, but they're still there. I want to thank guest 2256 and guest 4448 for sticking with us on the chat room tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. The next time, I expect you two to participate as well. Until that time, I want to say good night and thank you all for listening in on the Contra Radio Network. If you talk about some controversial things, you don't like it, let me know. ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com, or you can call in next episode and say you guys are out of your mind. That's okay. I'm good with it. All right. So my Prepper and Patriot friends, stay safe, stay vigilant, and stay alert. All right. Good night, Randy, and good night, Todd.
Good night, Paul.
Good night. Good morning. Welcome to Burger King.
I'm looking at this enormous burrito, and, man, it's big. I tell you that. Dang. Mm. Give me one of them enormouses. Enormouses. Watch out. Mm-hmm. Let's do it now.
Okay. I think I know what you're ordering.
Get the new Eggnormous burrito now only at Burger King. A hearty breakfast burrito packed with sausage and bacon, plus eggs, cheese, and hash browns. Only at Burger King at participating restaurants.
Good morning. Welcome to Burger King.
I'm looking at this enormous burrito, and, man, it's big. I tell you that. Dang. Mm. Give me one of them enormouses. Enormouses. Watch out. Mm-hmm. Let's do it now.
Okay. I think I know what you're ordering.
Get the new Eggnormous burrito now only at Burger King. A hearty breakfast burrito packed with sausage and bacon, plus eggs, cheese, and hash browns. Only at Burger King at participating restaurants.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.